So good to be with you. We're going to have a great time. We're going to talk a little bit today about some flags. We just came off the 4th of July, which is one of the most amazing holidays in the whole world. We take four-year-olds and put sparklers in their hands that are 1,000 degrees and say, wave this around. So it's just a great time, you know. So it's kind of stupid, isn't it? But we do it anyway. But I'm so glad you're here today. I noticed 4th of July, there are many flags everywhere, all over the place, many American flags. We are from America. We like this place, and it's a great place to live. What's interesting, I thought about this the other day, when God looks at my heart, what flag would he like to see flying from my heart? And that's what we're going to talk about today. That question we're going to ask you is, what flag would God want to see flying from your heart? Now, there are a few that I think he wouldn't, and one that I think he would. I want to tell you a story. I want to go back to about 2006. I have the French flag up there. We'll get into more of your notes later. You can start taking notes in a few minutes. But this is a little story. In 2006, my family had the chance to go to Paris, France. We got to go there for a month. We had a family member who was related to somebody there, and we got to live in their apartment in France for a month. Now, we went there, and Paris is a very cool city, and we were right in the heart of it. We were staying in the 11th arrondissement, if you're from France, and right off the Bastille there. And we got to be there, but it was the World Cup time. Now, those of you who are from America, if you haven't been in Europe, Central, South America, Africa, somewhere in there when the World Cup is going on, you don't get it, okay? And as much as I could try to explain it to you, you're not going to get it because it is the hugest, giantest thing that goes on in the whole world. And so it's exciting, it's fun, it's great. And when we were there, the French qualified for the World Cup. And what was interesting is they kept advancing. In fact, they advanced all the way to the championship game in 2006. Now, my family was there. We were hanging out. We were living in France, in Paris proper. You cannot build a building that is more than six stories tall. They want to keep the feel of France intact. And we were staying on the top floor in this apartment building. We had about 113 steps up to it. There were no elevators in the building. There was no air conditioning either, by the way. And there was a heat wave in France that year. It was the coolest we ever got. Our apartment was down to 78. It was just hot all the time. Really weird thing for them. They don't usually have that. And so we were there in France. And France, every time there was a game, the streets of Paris would just become deserted. There would be nobody out there in this giant metropolitan city. And we would watch. We had a little TV, and we would watch the game in French, because it's not America. We're broadcasting in French. And we would watch this game, and when the French would score a goal, the entire city would erupt, and you could hear screaming and cheering all over. The people would come out on their balconies and just go crazy and wave their flag and be so excited, and it was really cool to be at. My son, who was six then, actually got a French soccer jersey and would wear it around, you know, and so we looked like we were French until I tried to speak, and then it was obvious we were not. My wife did really well in that, but so we made it all the way to the championship game, France. We kind of adopted France as our country that year, and we happened to be in the country, or we left Paris, and we went down to Cannes, down on the Riviera. We got to go down there a little bit too, and so the final game happened when we were in Cannes. So we watched the game. Very, very tight game, back and forth. And anyway, France ended up losing. They played this country. Let me show you right here if we can get that going there. There we go. This country called Italy. That's their flag. Now, to be honest with you, there's a little bit of history between, literally a little bit of history between these two countries. They don't care for each other that much, I don't think. And so it was a very tight game. And it went into a shootout at the end. And the very best player from France got kicked out of the game. He got red carded because he headbutted a guy from Italy. Now, we later found out the reason he headbutted him because the man from Italy brought in the question of his mother's heritage. We can't say what it was, but it was rather pointed. And he got booted out, and so they lost. And so the French people were just crushed. They were so depressed and so sad, and we were sad because we were rooting for France. Well, in Cannes, every week in the summer, they shoot off fireworks. They have a big firework display. And so we went to that, and before they do the fireworks, they play the national anthem of France, and they play the national anthem of the country whose company is shooting off the fireworks. Well, this particular week, it happened to be an Italian country they were shooting off the fireworks. So the national anthem for France start, everybody stood, they sang, we cheered, it was great. The national anthem for Italy starts. All the French people, sit down. They will not stand. They are ticked off, and they are mad, and they will not recognize the country of Italy. They are ticked off. And what's interesting about flags is they really show a lot about where we're from, what we think, where our loyalty is. And in that setting, I learned that loyalty runs deep. And if you're flying a flag for something, it probably means that it's pretty important to you. And we're going to look at today some flags that I think maybe God would not want us to fly in our heart, but one specifically that I think he would like us to fly. So let me show you some of the flags today. First of all, we're going to start with this one. This will be point number one on your notes if you're taking notes. The American flag. Now, we're going to treat this one really carefully because I love America. I am an American. I think it is one of the greatest countries in the whole world. We are so fortunate to live here, to be born here if you were. It is a great country. Many people like America, they try to come here all the time because we do things for other people. We help other people. And the neatest thing about America, and I think we say it, but we don't always hear it, the reason this is such a great country is because you are free. You get to do what you want to do. Young person, you're thinking maybe I'm getting ready to go to college. You know, in other countries, you don't get the choice of what you're going to do. You don't get to choose the field that you're going to go in. And that's what's great about here. You can do what you want to do. You're free to do it. And that's why this is an amazing country. It is a country of opportunity. And that's why people want to come here all the time. You know, when I'm out doing school assemblies, you know, Matt was referring to, I'd use the yo-yo to do that. And I was in my show, I usually have a little time for questions. The kids can ask questions. And a kid will always ask, they'll raise their hand, they'll go, is this your real job? Are you a yo-yo man? And my answer is always, only in America. Can you be America, you know, being a yo-yo man and make a living? It's a great country. Cool things happen here. And America is wonderful to live in. And the other thing that's so great about it, too, besides the opportunity, is just all the things you can do here. My kids, I tell them this all the time, and I have two of them sitting right out there. They could finish this sentence for me. They'll say sometimes, boy, you know, I wish I was rich. And I will say to them, you are rich. You're born in America. Because rich doesn't always equal your bank account. It always isn't. That isn't the defining thing of rich. And being an American, because you get to do so many things, it makes you, this is a great country and a great place. And here's the thing about America. Many people say we are a Christian nation, and I pray that we are. I pray we do the right things. I pray we treat people the way Jesus would. But the bottom line is this. Just because you're an American, it does not make you a Christian. You can't show up to heaven someday and say, God, I'm an American, let me in. Doesn't work with God, because even though it's a great country and you love it, it still doesn't get you into heaven. The Bible says, and most of you know this verse if you hung around church along at all, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you have to ask Christ into your heart to have a relationship. Being American doesn't cut it. And even though I love this flag and I respect it and it's a great flag, it doesn't automatically make you a Christian. So you can't fly that flag in front of God and say, I'm ready to go. Flag number two. This is our state flag. This is where we live. I have been now to every state in America except for one. I've not been to Delaware, and I don't know why, because I was really close. I should have just crossed in and knocked it off the list, and I've been in all 50, but I have been to all the states. I've seen all the state flags. Our state flag, I think, is rather cool because we have a real person on our flag. Most flags of the states are just weird stuff on there, but we have a person. It is George Washington. I've given a form of this talk in schools before, in Christian schools, and I'll ask kids what that flag is, and they'll raise their hand and they'll go, it's a dollar bill flag. They just, yeah, it's the money flag. No, it's my home state flag. So that's where I live. Now, younger people, and this is predominantly younger people in this service, and I like that. I think that's really cool. I'm not talking so much to the younger people here, and I'll qualify younger. I'm going to say from like, 39 down, we're going to call you younger today. People of 40 to 100, I'm probably talking to us more than the younger people now. Now, here's the deal. When I'm at this place, in this state, I am really comfortable. I know how to get to church. I know how to get to my kid's school. I know how to go to the bank. I know where everything is at. It's easy to get around. But when I travel and I'm gone, I don't know how to get places. I don't know where things are at. I have one of the greatest inventions in the history of the world to me, and that is the GPS. Before I had one, I used to have to map everything out on a map. When I travel, I go somewhere I didn't know where anything is. But now I plug it in, and that wonderful lady tells me where to go. It's awesome. It has never let me down except for one time. And it wasn't the GPS's fault. It was the weather's fault. I was in Arkansas. I was going from one school to another. It was in the fall. It was early fall. It was really hot. It hadn't rained in Arkansas for like 90 days, except it rained the night before a lot. And so I got out of the school, I left the school parking lot, I turned right. It was a dirt road. Don't go down a dirt road if she tells you to go down the dirt road. It's not good. So I turned down the dirt road, and I'm going between two cotton fields in Arkansas. And I get about halfway down the road, and it gets ruddy and horrible, and I get stuck in the mud. I am buried in mud in my car. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of here? I'm going to call AAA. Yeah, I'm at Cotton Avenue in the middle of a field. They're not even going to know where I'm at. You know, how are they going to find me even? So I called the school I had just come from and said, this is what happened. Here's where I am. And she said, well, you know, one of our students' parents owns that field. Let me give him a call. So like 10 minutes later, this guy in his big tractor came driving down the road. And he took me up and he drug me out. And he said, you know, if it hadn't rained, you could have got through there and you would have made it to where you're going. But the rain messed me up. So GPS didn't, but the weather did. And so we get so comfortable sometimes. Don't let yourself get too comfortable. There's a thing that kills a church, a sentence that goes like this. We've always done it this way. We could never do it that way. And that's why this is a great service. It's because our church is saying, well, we always have done it this way, but we're going to change. We're going to do something different. And that's why this is a cool service, because it's different than the other service. And that's a great thing. I love the fact Tim took his electric guitar today away, but the electric guitar, and we've got all this modern. I'm just waiting, you know, for Pastor Tim to flick one of his picks one of these days after the great service, you know, or something like that, like in a concert. I'm waiting for that to happen. But this is a great testament to this church saying we're not just going to do the status quo all the time. And young people, you're really good about shifting and changing and moving, but older people like me, be flexible. Take a chance. Take a risk. Say, God, if you want me to try something different faith-wise, be ready to go. Be ready to answer him and say, I can do that. I can be something that I haven't been before. Because God wants you to be flexible. There's a verse that says this, Psalm 119:35, direct me in your path, or in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. So let God direct you. Even if you're older, that's really, really important. Next flag here. Let's see what else we can find up here. This would be the Swedish flag. Any Scandinavians out there? We got some floating around there. Yeah, there you are. I see you. I am very Scandinavian. My last name is Fox. That is very German. But my mom's side of the family is Josephson, Larson, and Nielsen. I reek of Scandinavia. My mother grew up in Ballard. If you haven't been to Ballard, that's where all the Scandinavian people live. I love Ballard. It's changed a lot because things are growing there. Did you, this is the younger crowd, I can say. Did you ever see, those of you who are old enough, did you ever see the old, remember the old, you know Saturday Night Live, right? Remember the old Almost Live show? Did you remember seeing the skit on driving in Ballard? It was hysterical. They were practicing to drive in Ballard, and it would be like, you know, turn your left blinker on, leave it on, don't turn it off, you know. No, hug the curb, bump it, you know, because they were kind of making fun of the older people that lived in Ballard. But it was very funny, and I enjoyed that skit very much. But my mom grew up in Ballard. My mom is the 1955 Ballard Seafarer Princess, so I'm very Scandinavian, yes. And here's the thing, though, about we Scandinavian folks. We tend to be a little bit more on the reserve side, if you haven't noticed that. If you get a yay out of us, man, that's a screaming yell for some of you. You know, we're just woo, and we're kind of quiet and kind of reserved. We're also really cheap. You know, we're just tight. We really are. And you know, I get a little joke for you here. Some of you that are Scandinavian, you know the old Sven and Ole jokes. You've heard those many times. Well, here's an illustration for a little Sven and Ole. So, Sven, if you didn't notice, he's married to Lena, and they're both Scandinavian, and the state fair comes to their area every year, the Swedish fair, and there's a guy who brings a biplane, and he takes biplane rides, and he charges $5 on the biplane ride, and he has a rule: if you can go on the biplane ride and not say anything, it's free. Well, Sven was like, ooh, this is a good one. Lena, we're going to get the ride for free, so when you're going to go up in the plane, you be really quiet, don't say anything. So, yeah, we'll do that, you know. So they got in the plane, and they got in the back seat. The pilot's in the front. It's a biplane. They go up in the air, and, you know, they're not saying a word. They're really quiet, and he does some really fun things, and they're still quiet, and he says, well, I'm going to show them. So he does the big barrel roll, and over they go upside down, and then he does the loop-the-loop and all around, and he's just shocked because they don't say a word. Well, he lands a plane, and he turns around, and he says, Ole, that was incredible. I can't believe that you guys were quiet the whole time. He says, well, you know, it was really hard. He said, when you did the loop-de-loop, oh, I almost said something there, but I didn't. And then the barrel roll was so scary. And he said, and then when Lena fell out of the plane, I almost said something, but I kept my mouth shut because I wanted to save the $5, you know. And so, you know, so that's we Scandinavian people here. So we're kind of quiet, we're kind of reserved. And people are different in the world, and it's okay, and it's good. And if you're reserved, be reserved. That's how God made you. That's who you are. There's nothing wrong with that. And everybody is different, so different is good, but use your different to communicate with people. I shared with the earlier service that, you know, if everybody were like me, there'd be no pet stores, because I don't have a pet. I grew up on a farm. I learned at an early age, everything dies. I don't like that. I don't want one, because it's going to die on me someday. So we don't have pets at our house, besides my wife's allergic to them, so we don't like those things. But pet people are interesting, and if you're a pet person, kind of wonder about you sometime, you know, I really do. There's normal pet people, and we have people that are over-the-top pet people, okay? Now, we have some people in our family or in our congregation here. I don't think they're here today, but Tracy and Kathy Shipman and their daughter Emma, they have a dog. His name is Reese. Reese is cool. I like Reese. And about every so often, they go on vacation, and my oldest daughter takes care of Reese. Now, Reese comes over to my house, and I like Reese. He's cool. He does what you say. If you say sit, he sits. If you say come here, he comes here. If you go on a walk with him, he walks with you. He's really great. I like Reese. And so I kind of get you pet people sometimes, because for about a day every year, I'm a pet person with Reese. But others of you, I just can't understand, okay? We have a lady in our neighborhood. My wife and I walk a lot. We love to walk. There's a lady in our neighborhood who will be coming down the road with four dogs on a leash, and they're dragging her, and they're yelling, and you're yapping. I'm like, how is that fun? What do you do that for? That is not a good time, you know? And then there's other people when I travel, they have their dog in this mini dog suitcase, and they bring it on the airplane, and they put it underneath their seat, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? You know, Reese stays at home because the Shipmans don't want to take him on the airplane, and I don't want him on the airplane. So, and then there's those of you that, this is one I really don't get, okay? That you let your dog lick your face all over the place. That's gross, man. Why do you do that? I just can't stand that. But some of you like that, and it's okay. So there's different people in the world. We're all different. But be yourself, and let God use who you are to share your story with people. It's so important that you share what God has done for you. There's a verse that says this. He said to them, this is found in Mark, and this is Jesus speaking, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, I know that word preach scares some of you. Don't let it. Just what God's talking about there is go out and tell your story. Tell what God did to you and how he found you. And some of you I know say, man, well, my story isn't a big deal. It's no big deal. Yes, it is. It's a huge deal. And some of you say, well, man, I became a Christian when I was like six. It's a huge deal. And the reason it's a huge deal is because you were lost and God found you. And that doesn't matter if it happened when you were 4 or 24 or 44. It's a great story because you needed God and somehow he worked history in your situation that he found you. So it's a great story. So always tell that story. Don't be embarrassed or afraid of it, but get out and don't hide behind the flag of your ethnicity sometimes. Be brave and launch out and tell people your story because that's a great story. So you can't hide behind that flag. Don't do that. Another flag you shouldn't fly in your heart, that would be this one right here. That would be the Texas state flag. How many people have been to Texas? Anybody from Texas? It's going to get a couple of them out there. Texas people, I love Texas people. I think they're very cool. They're very outgoing. They're very energetic. They're very fun. But there's kind of a couple reasons they are the way they are. Let me tell you why. They're very independent. Very independent. And the reason is this. Let me tell you why. This is kind of cool. That flag right there is a state flag of Texas. If you were to take our state flag, let's say we put a couple flagpoles out in front of the church here, and we flew the American flag. We have to, if we fly the Washington state flag, we have to fly it below the American flag. That's flag etiquette. It shows honor to the country. But here's the deal about that flag, the Texas flag. That is the only state flag in America that is allowed to fly their state flag at the same level as the United States flag. You know why that is? Because the state of Texas was a country before it was a state. And that gives them the right to fly it on the same level. That's one of the reasons they're so darn independent. They were a country before they ever were a state, and they'll tell you about that. The other thing that's interesting about Texas is they're really, 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 really big. And they'll tell you about that, too. It's one of the hugest places in the world. You know, I wrote a few little notes down here. Did you know, this is amazing, there's a ranch there. It's called the King Ranch. It is bigger than the state of Rhode Island. That's a big ranch. Brewster County in Texas is 6,208 square miles. That's gigantic. There are twice as many cattle in Texas as there are people in our state. There are 16 million cows in the state of Texas. That's a lot of cows. First words uttered from the moon were, Houston. They'll tell you that. That's pretty interesting. It has the world's largest rose garden in Texas. It has the biggest state fair of any state in America, the Texas State Fair. They have big hats, big belt buckles, big boots, but here's the thing. You can be the biggest, strongest person in the whole world, but you still need God. You are never too big for God. It doesn't matter what letters come before or after your name. It doesn't matter if you're doctor something or PhD, whatever. You still need God. You can be the strongest, tallest, biggest person in the whole world. Still need God. Never too big for God. I love it. One of my favorite things in the whole world. I love it when men of the family, the dads, the men, say to God, God, I need your help. Or I see you pray down here at the altar. That's a cool thing when the men, because you realize, I can't do this myself. I'm not big enough to handle this. And that's when you get to that place and realize you're not too big for God, that's a great place to be. So don't fly that flag in your heart. Now to go to a verse for you that goes with that one. It says this in Romans 14, verse 11. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Everybody's going to do that one day. You're never too big for God. Another flag to look at today. This one would be called many different things. It is called the Rebel Flag. It is called the Confederate Flag. It is called the Stars and Bars. It is a flag that goes way back in our country's history. It is a very negative flag in our country's history. Many historians will tell you that this flag, back in the Civil War, which is where this comes from, that the Civil War was caused by many different things. Many historians will tell you that. The people in the South will tell you that it wasn't just about slavery, but if we're honest, it was mostly about slavery. There was a very bad time in our country's history that we had slavery, that our country said that it was okay for people to own other people of a different skin color, and that was wrong. Flat out, horribly evil wrong, and that was changed. And that's what that whole war was about, and that's why it happened. And it is interesting that, you know, from time to time, you still have to deal with that flag. You'll see some white supremacist group or whatever, and it's out there. But what's really interesting, those of you that haven't traveled, if you get down south to different parts of the country, especially in the rural south, man, I see that flag flying all the time in front of people's houses. It's kind of scary. You know, did you know that you could go to the capital of South Carolina in Columbia, and right on the walls of their state capital still hang the Articles of Secession from the Union? It's still there. On the sides of the building, of the Capitol building, there are five golden stars. That's where the Union cannonballs hit when they were invading the South, and they're really proud of that. So we still fight stuff like that. And so the rebel flag is out there. And it is there. And it is easy to be a rebel. All it takes to be a rebel, what it is a pride issue. It's saying, you know, I want it my way, and I deserve this. Those are two really bad things to say. I deserve it, and I want it my way. And there are lots of rebels in our world today. We see it all the time. You look at some people and you think, why, you know, you look at the person with lung cancer that still smokes. Nobody can tell me what to do. The person who doesn't wear the seatbelt, who says, I will fly through the windshield if I want to, you can't stop me. That is stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. Don't be a rebel. It's one of the most dangerous things you can be with God. If you say to God, you know, I don't need you, God, I'll do it my way. I'll just figure this out. You're not going to figure it out yourself. It doesn't work out by yourself. You need God's help. You don't need to be a rebel. It's one of those very dangerous, dangerous flags if it flies in your heart. Proverbs 14:12 says this. This is a great verse. If we all live this way, it'd work much better. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. That is not a good flag to fly in your heart. Another flag, and this one I contemplated whether to put this on here or not. I may get some grief from you today. There it is. Oh, man. Yeah, that 12-man flag. There it is. Woo! Little thin ice for me today, huh? But I put it on there because of this. I got to thinking, and by the way, I'll tell you, honestly, I'm a really big fan of that flag. I like that flag. It's great. My son gave this to me for my birthday. For Christmas. This is my phone cover, my Seahawks thing. And I like the Seahawks. It's really fun. And what's really, really fun is when you travel and you have won the Super Bowl and you speak to children and teenagers. It is awesome because it's especially awesome when you're in the Bay Area. Especially awesome. Because you'll have kids up front and you can talk to them and you already know the answers to all these questions, but so you get a kid who's like 10 up here and you go, hey, you like football? Yeah, I love football. What's your favorite team? 49ers. Who's the best team? The 49ers. Who won the Super Bowl? Shut up, man. You know, and I'll get booed, actually. You know, I live in Seattle. Well, you know, sorry about that, too. And it's really fun to do because it's fun to be a winner. And so I like that flag. I don't think God gets super mad at us for that. But here's the point I want to make about this flag. And it's a pretty simple one. My thought on this flag is simply this. I think God would like us to be as excited about him as we are about that. I think that would be really, God would like that. And I know we get excited about that. It is really fun, and it is really exciting, and it is fun to watch, and we just go berserk. But be excited about God as well. Don't make something else more important to you than God. Make God the most important thing in your life. Mark chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that's a whole other giant sermon we could do too, but we'll just leave it at that. Sixth flag coming up here. This one looks like that. And most of you know what that is. That would be a pirate flag. Pirate flag comes in many forms. When I was on the internet looking to see which one to put up here, there's a zillion pirate flags. And you know that it represents the pirates. You know the eye patch, R, all that kind of thing. You know the whole thing. But most of you don't know the story behind this flag. It's a really old story. Let me tell it to you. Many, many, many hundreds of years ago, there was a really bad disease called the plague. And if you got the plague, you almost always died. There was not a cure for it back then. It was a horrible thing, killed millions of people. And if you were back in the old days and you were going to travel somewhere, you didn't get in an airplane or in a car. You got on a boat on a great big ship, and that's how you would get around. If you were on that big ship and someone got the plague, they would take that flag and they'd run it up the mast and warn the other ships, stay away from us because someone on the boat has the plague. Now, what happened was the guys who were the pirates figured out, if we fly that flag, people will leave us alone. They'll think we got the plague in the boat and they'll stay away from us. So that flag actually represents death. And there is a verse in the Bible that I think you can finish with me. It's pretty simple. It goes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That is a flag that you do not want flying in your life. I think most of the flags we've talked about, if you follow them all the way through, will lead you to that flag. You know, it's interesting as we talk about it, not only does it lead to death, but we find out as the pirates, as history went on later on, they quit using that as the plague flag because pirates use it so much, they use that as a fear thing. So that they wanted to, you know, hey, if we're around, you better watch out for us because we're the pirates, we're bad. And that's a bad flag to fly in your heart. But there is one flag that I think God would like you to fly in your heart. It's a pretty simple one. In fact, what's interesting about this flag, if you are another country, it is a flag that you never, ever, ever want to fly before another country. It's a very plain flag. There's absolutely nothing on it. In fact, there's a picture of it on the cover of your bulletin today. We have another slide of it too, and it looks just like that. It would be called the white flag. It is the surrender flag. And I believe that is the flag that God would like you and I every day to fly in our heart. If you're in a war or a battle, you want to give up, you raise that white flag and you say, God, I surrender. Or to the country, I surrender, I give up. But if we fly that flag in our hearts every day, telling God, man, I need you every single day, Lord, that will make a huge difference in all of our lives. Because what we're doing is we're surrendering ourselves to Him. And you know what? Who better to surrender your life to than the one that made you? You know, God knows every single thing about you. He knows your talents. He knows your gifts. He knows what goes on inside of that head of yours that nobody else knows about. He knows everything about you. So the best thing you can do every day is to surrender your life to God and say, God, I'm going to wave that flag. I'm going to tell you that I need your help every day, because you do. You do need God's help every day. And He's there to help you and guide you and direct you and love you, because that's what He does. And so we're going to say a prayer. We're going to ask God to be with us and just go with us as we leave today. Father, thank you so much that you care for us, that you love us. Lord, we want to just for a moment, the best thing we can do as your creation, Lord, is to stop for a minute and to say, God, I surrender to you. I wave this white flag and I say, God, help. Help me. Lord, we all go through things. We all are going through things right now. Lord, it could be a myriad of things. Lord, we might be struggling with something in our health. It might be something at work. Lord, sometimes we face things that, Lord, we can't handle. We can't do it. And we have to say, God, I've got to have your help. I give it to you. Please carry it for me, because it's too big of a burden for me. I can't do this anymore. So, Lord, help us just for a moment to stop and focus on you. That's the great thing about church. The great thing about church is this moment that happens right now, when we cut through all the clutter of our lives and all the stuff that's going on around us stops for a minute. And we can stop and say, God, I do surrender to you. I need you every day. So we do that, Lord. We stop for a minute and look to you. And we give you those great things that we carry with us that we can't carry anymore. And we ask you to direct us. Ask you to carry us and watch over us. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for being with us today. Help us to go on in you and follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.